Almost 2 years after first promising a federal anti-corruption watchdog, the Morrison government has finally unveiled draft laws to set up a new Commonwealth Integrity Commission. The Attorney-General, Christian Porter, says the agency will have wide-ranging powers.
The Commonwealth Integrity Commission, as you'll see in the legislation, will have greater powers than a Royal Commission. It will have the power to compel people to give sworn evidence at hearings. It will have the power to compel people to provide information and produce documents, even if the information would incriminate the person. It will have the power to search people in their houses or seize property under warrant. It will have the power to arrest people. It will have the power to intercept phone calls and use other surveillance devices to investigate persons and to confiscate people's passports by court orders. It will also have the ability to assume false identities for the purposes of investigation.
That's the Attorney-General there, but the Attorney-General's proposed Commonwealth Integrity Commission, or CIC, has already come under fire. Its remit will be limited to criminal conduct. It won't be able to launch its own investigations, and most of the hearings will be in private. Geoffrey Watson, SC, is the Director of the Centre for Public Integrity and a former counsel assisting the New South Wales ICAC. Geoffrey Watson, welcome back to Breakfast.
Hi, friend.
Well, it's been 2 years to see this draft bill for a Commonwealth Integrity Commission. What's the verdict? Has it been worth the wait?
It's terrible. It's a total disappointment, but that's just not a surprise.
When you say it's terrible, what's so terrible about it? We heard the Attorney General say his commission would have greater powers than a royal commission.
That's just incorrect. That is just not right. I don't know why he said it. He better read the Act. There's so many things wrong with it. I mean, the structure itself. Fran, think about the division into law enforcement on one side and public sector on the other. Since when do we start treating different parts of the citizenry differently? The Attorney General is nationally the head of law enforcement. Why is it being held to a different and higher standard than the standard to which the Attorney General would be held?
So you're referencing the fact there that the commission, just to fill people in, will be split in two. There'd be a law enforcement section of the commission and a public service one. And in the public sector one, that would investigate politicians and their staff, public servants. It would only consider referrals from other agencies. So there'd be no whistleblowers making referrals there to that one. And it could also only launch an inquiry if there was a reasonable suspicion of a criminal offence, which is a higher threshold than New South Wales ICAC, for example, and no public hearings. If we just focus on that side of it, the public sector side of it, how effective will it be as a corruption-busting body given those restraints?
It'd be worse than not having one at all.
Why?
It's got no retrospective effect. So everybody out there who wants to know what happened in relation to the Great Barrier Reef Fund will never find out. Then the referral system is completely wrong, as you've already said. Referrals can't be made by the public. They can only come from very limited sources in very limited circumstances.
What sort of sources can make referrals to this Integrity Commission?
A minister, a head of a department, a politician on what is called a self-referral. That cuts out members of the public. Fran, can I just remind your listeners, some of them will remember inquiries at ICAC involving the Obeid family. They started from an anonymous tip-off. The thing is that you weigh and measure the value of the tip-off and then you act upon it. It's not the source of the tip-off which tells you whether it's any good.
So why would the government have done that?
Having the public out is wrong. Sorry.
So why would the Attorney General have limited the source of those who can refer?
I have no idea, and I can tell you I've made a study of these things, and it is not a model anywhere else in Australia, or as far as I can tell, in the world.
The fact of no public hearings for this stream of a commission is perhaps the biggest point of contention, but we do know why the Attorney-General has done that, because he and the Prime Minister have previously described some state-based anti-corruption bodies as kangaroo courts. Christian Porter's pointed out the public hearings have, quote, destroyed public reputations when a finding has been reversed or dismissed. Nick Greiner is obviously a shining example of that at ICAC. I mean, he does have a point. There are issues in some of these courts and who they can bring before them and what happens in public view, which does, you know, never leads to conviction.
Can I say, of course that's right. And I've been there in the room when decisions have been made whether or not to conduct a public inquiry. and that's always part of the measurement. But this goes far too far. It shrouds everything with secrecy. You will not know that there was a referral. You cannot know that there was an investigation. You cannot know that the Integrity Commissioner has delivered a report, and you can't know anything until the DPP delivers his or her verdict on it, maybe 3 or 4 years after the event. I might also say there's an element of hypocrisy here. I do not remember this government speaking out like this against the public conduct, for example, of the Pink Bats Royal Commission or the Trade Union Royal Commission.
Well,
they just don't want an investigation into themselves.
The Attorney General, though, says ultimately, he makes the point that it's courts in our country who should be making public determinations of guilt or innocence. And his commission, he says, will be given significant, well, will be given significant investigative powers to unearth criminality. As he said, they can compel witnesses, they can compel evidence, they can tap phones, they can search homes, they can confiscate passports, for instance, things royal commissions can't do. And if the case for criminality or corruption is there, then they hand over to the DPP. What is wrong with that? Is it just the time frame that you're concerned about?
I'll just pause there and say royal commissions can do all of those things.
Uh-huh.
But what is this proposal beyond some sort of unnecessary additional police force? If we're just going to go through the criminal justice system, get rid of it. What it misunderstands is this, that these corruption bodies or anti-corruption bodies have a role in exposing these matters and reporting upon them. For example, the recent helpful reports from the Auditor-General. But the Auditor-General can't compel people to come and give evidence and can't get some of the documents that are necessary for the inquiry. These are just reports. There's no finding of guilt or, for that matter, of innocence through any of the state-based integrity bodies.
Under this model, the Commission would only investigate serious criminal offences in the public sector. That's for politicians, their staff, public servants. Can you help us understand what kind of high bar that is? Where would that leave, for instance, recent scandals such as the Leppington land sale at Western Sydney Airport or last year's sports rorts affair, for that matter?
None of them would get off the ground because the Commissioner at the new body needs to suspect that a serious crime has been committed before an investigation can even start. Now, I do not know how you can hold that suspicion if you haven't got the evidence. I do not know how you can get the evidence without commencing the investigation.
But in this case, don't we have some evidence from the Auditor-General? Hasn't that given us the evidence, and wouldn't that still be the case?
That's not evidence of a crime. That's evidence of a misdoing in respect of finances. What you can do from there, and I think most of the public would say, well, hold on, I'm worried. That may have an improper basis to it. It may or may not. The fact is that would not give rise or get to the threshold of suspecting that a crime has been committed. In other words, the investigation couldn't launch.
And if the sports rorts, would that ever be eligible for a test of criminality?
I do not see how the Commissioner under Mr. Porter's model could ever form the view that a crime had been committed. The thing is that there isn't the evidence. Nobody's coming forward to provide the evidence. Therefore, the documents won't be there.
Just finally, Geoffrey, we've only got a minute to the news, but despite all its shortcomings, would you be urging the Senate to pass this bill because it's better than nothing?
No. I'll be going to Canberra if necessary to speak to Labor and the crossbench, and I think they'll listen, to reject this. We would be better off with nothing in the hope that in the future we get something which is better, much, much better.
Geoffrey Watson, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Geoffrey Watson, bye. SC, is the Director of Centre for Public Integrity and has been a counsel assisting at the New South Wales ICAC, and there's a public consultation process now that gets underway.